You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Residents of Point Chevalier recently received a pamphlet titled One Treaty, One Nation. The pamphlet promotes a one law for all agenda, historical revisionism, and cites a book written co-written by Don Brash called One Treaty, One Nation, as the same. Justice Minister Andrew Little, who is overseeing a review of hate speech in the wake of the terrorist attacks, told the Herald that his view was that the pamphlet was racist. He said that it peddles myths about pre-European Māori society that historical scholarship does not bear out. If it demonstrates anything, it is that the author of it is an ignorant fool. News director Lillian Hanley spoke to Sophie Barclay, a Point Chev resident who received the pamphlet, about what she thought of it. Here is Lillian and Sophie.
Now, you got in touch with us because you found what you termed as racist paraphernalia. I think I said that right. In your letterbox, what was it?
Yeah, so I received some what I like to call racist paraphernalia in my letterbox. It was Wednesday the 4th, so it was 2.5 weeks after what had happened in Christchurch, the massacre in Christchurch. And it's titled One Treaty, One Nation, which is a bit of a red flag already, and then basically goes on to spread historically and factually inaccurate information about Te Tiriti o Waitangi and how New Zealanders are currently being, how Māori basically experience a so-called racial privilege because they are given right to representation in local government. And it looks like it's an attempt to gain funds for what is called the Rolling Thunder Campaign, which is a campaign established by Number One Law for All, so One Law for All, one and four are numbers. So I was quite shocked and upset about this because, firstly, it's historically inaccurate. It says the Māori people who ceded sovereignty to Queen Victoria in 1840 no longer exist. Well, for one, anyone who knows anything about Te Tiriti or Waitangi knows that the majority of Māori chiefs signed the Māori version, which uses actually different, completely different words, which some people say were chosen in order to basically take advantage of the Māori people. It uses the term that they give kawanatanga or governance, so it says nothing about sovereignty, which is any people who don't understand that basically don't understand why there's still historical grievances going on today. And it also, just kind of is quite divisive, the text within it. And I just thought that given the context of what's happening at the moment, we don't really need more of this kind of material around because it seeks to divide us based on race rather than unite us, which is what we need to be doing, respecting each other's diversity and walking towards a future that we celebrate diversity and learn about each other's cultures, and particularly like decolonize systems of education so that we all have a basic understanding of our history and know that when this turns up in your letterbox, it's historically inaccurate and dripping with ignorance. It makes me feel quite angry. I'm not Māori and it doesn't matter whether I am or not, it's just racist.
Mm. Well, you've just said everything. but I guess there's a couple of things that I want to pick up on, because you're right, there is that immediate sort of historical inaccuracy. But also it sort of purposefully words it in a way which, you know, not only is it inaccurate, but it's kind of drawing on these other ideas. So one, this kind of the idea that Māori ceded sovereignty, which is used all the time to basically justify, you know, Pākehā New Zealanders' presence in New Zealand, one, and then also drawing on this idea of that Māori people don't exist, and is this a blood quantum idea? Because that, I mean, that also goes down a whole road of problems in that area. So and so the pamphlet's kind of full of these ideas. But so I guess going back to all of the other things. First of all, this argument, this kind of idea of one people, one law for all. This is not new. It's been around for a long time, and not. Like what you've said in terms of uniting people through diversity, why is that people can't see that? You know, why do we have to all be one people, and why is that a problem, do you think?
My personal opinion on that is that the only people who ever call for one treaty, one nation and one mode of operating are people who already operate within the mainstream, which is the colonised, like, Western-based systems. So this pamphlet also has, the pamphlet also has down one side, democracy, tick, equality, tick, racial privilege, cross, separatism, cross. And I think it's interesting that has come from a group of whom I'm going to assume would be Pākehā, that they think that Māori people shouldn't have racial privilege when we look at a wider level at society in terms of incarceration rates, poverty rates, the median salary rate. Māori are all at the bottom of all of those statistics. They're at the bottom of a lot of statistics in our society, which is a reflection of colonisation and the history of colonisation, intergenerational trauma, intergenerational poverty due to theft. In many cases it was theft of land. There was a whole lot of legislation put through in 1865 which allowed for the taking of land if people were not acting with the will of the Crown, and then a lot of that land was just taken and unsold. So it's basically just a big sign of ignorance. And I think that we can do better, and we have to do better than this irksome pamphlet that really put me in a bad mood. But me and my friend took some action, so we rang New Zealand Post, because on here it has the details of a postbox and also has a bank account number which begins with 03. So we rang all of the banks that have 03, which includes like Rubber Bank and Heartland and Westpac, and still waiting to hear what action has been taken. But New Zealand Post pointed out that it was quite interesting for them because they couldn't necessarily just go and shut down someone's mailbox because they might have paid all their bills and be up to date. So I think that's a signalling that they need to change some of their policy around if a PO box holder is sending objectionable material, that it needs to be closed down, and I hope that they will look at taking those steps.
So when you did contact them, did you contact them on the basis that you had found this pamphlet to be, you know, offensive, and that they should not be involved in that?
Yeah, it was just if someone's sending racist, divisive paraphernalia from a fringe group, an alt-right, obviously, fringe group, that I just thought that they would like to know about it because they probably don't want to have a part in harbouring or supporting in any way that kind of behaviour, particularly given the climate that we're in at the moment, where we're trying to recover from a massacre of a minority group, from an alt-right group. And I think that I thought that they would, you know, try and do something about it, but it looks like it's quite hard legally for them to do that. And I guess it's kind of like, where do they draw the line? Do they go around and search people's PO boxes? And so it sort of, I guess, hopefully will signal for them that they need to do something at the policy level. Maybe if someone is found to be sending objectionable material, that their PO box gets shut down. And I'm yet to hear that from Westpac, so the account number was registered with Westpac. So I'm hoping that they will shut down the account, because that seems to be an easy way.
Did the Post or Westpac indicate how long it would take for them to get back to you? Or?
No, they didn't, but it's been over a week. Oh, nearly a week, sorry.
Nearly a week. Okay. Yeah, the conversation goes into all of these other elements, right, in terms of, I mean, of course somebody's going to raise, you know, the point about free speech and that they're allowed to obviously go, you know, I guess, and put their ideas out there. But again, is there a line in terms of whether... Do we have to put now on our letterboxes stickers that say, I don't want your racist hate speech.
And also, I don't want your factually incorrect, ignorant, and offensive material in my letterbox. It's like the freedom of speech whole issue doesn't apply to stuff that's made up. So it's kind of like this doesn't even come into it. And also, it's a signal of a wider malaise, which is that I last year did my master's in education and looked to kind of becoming a teacher, but the whole system is extremely A, colonised, and B, systemically racist, which is why Māori are like, you know, they have a very low percentage of NCA level 3 and higher compared to other ethnicities such as European or Asian. And it's because 70% of the teaching workforce are Pākehā women who don't know how to pronounce te reo, don't know anything about Māori history because they probably weren't taught at school, and the proper vision of the history of our country is not taught. So I think there's kind of, this pamphlet is also systematic, or this pamphlet also represents to me that we have wider issues in terms of our lack of knowledge, and the fact that like lots of teachers don't even know what parihaka is.
Mm.
I wasn't taught it myself at school. I wanted to go out and learn it because it's important to me, but I think it's, you know, a symptom of a wider issue, which is that we're historically ignorant because a lot of our systems are colonised and they are portrayed through a Western point of view. And, you know, if you read this pamphlet and you see that it says no to racial privilege. That's quite interesting to me because it's like, well, there is racial privilege in New Zealand and it's people who have white skin. I've never been a victim of racism in this country, and that's because of my privilege of being born a white person. And I think, you know, my Māori friends or PI friends just say that their experiences are very different to mine. And the racial privilege is that of people who are born with white skin. So I think that's kind of quite ironic, really, this pamphlet.
Hard. If other people are receiving these sorts of pamphlets or coming up in conversation even with these sorts of ideas, what would you recommend the sort of everyday person can do about that? You know, somebody that doesn't necessarily have the ability to change the history curriculum, for example?
Well, I think it would be great for everyone to pressure Westpac and New Zealand Post to shut these things down. I mean, they do play a role in distributing and helping to sustain these movements. And it's also just really about Pākehā people taking more of a stand. Like, it's really easy for Pākehā people to just kick back and enjoy what life has handed to them on a plate. And I think becoming really aware of your own privilege and working really hard to speak up when someone makes a racist comment, educate yourself, learn te reo, learn about our history, try and be part of the movement to decolonise education, decolonise your workplace, decolonise your mind. Like, it's just so important, and we can't just sit on our privilege. We've really got to help to right the historical wrong. And there's plenty of things happening at the moment, like even Ihi Mātou out by the airport. There's a big land campaign going on at the moment. So I think it's just about being educated and helping our tangata whenua brothers and sisters to decolonise the system and everyone.
You're saying that there is a PO box number. Does this mean that people can actually send letters back to these people pointing out their historical inaccuracies?
Rolling Thunder account, PO box 177, Orewa 0946. So that's would be a pretty great thing for people to do. But I think it would also be really effective just to shut them down, because you're probably not going to change someone's mind if they're making a poster about racial privilege and one law for all. And I just think it's probably a waste of time, but if people want to do that, they definitely could.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.